What's up, everybody? On this episode of Coffee with Corey, Michael Clark and I will be discussing, for the final time, NC State's loss to Virginia on Saturday, 34-8 loss in which NC State struggled to get anything going offensively and get stops on defense. We'll break down some film, so if you're listening to this, I would suggest going over to YouTube, but also we'll be discussing the inefficiencies for NC State on offense and defense, what they can do to get better. Players to watch moving forward, and our final thoughts on this game. So please stick with us through this ad break.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint scheme. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast.
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Corey. I'm your host, Corey Smith, here with Michael Clark, football analyst for Pac Power 247. Michael, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great. I'm trying to flush what was last Saturday still.
Yeah, exactly. I figure we jump on here, we do our final thoughts. But before we jump into things, I do want to remind our listeners, as always, we have a promo down there that says 60% off, but it's actually still 75% off right now when you sign up through Pac Power 247. That gets you an entire year for $35. So do make sure that you check that out. Support us, you know, as much as you possibly can, because we're trying to get as much content out there, trying to give you the truth of the matter every single time we jump onto one of these things. Also, it is free VIP day. So if you've been waiting to figure out, you know, what the VIP content looks like, it's not the most glowing content right now, but you can look back at some of the preseason content as well, what we said about, you know, Bo Prabula going into the game, that we knew he was going to run the football, all these different things. So do make sure that you check out Pac Power 247. That runs through midnight tonight on the free VIP day. So do make sure that you check that out. And quick shout out to the Pac House Coffee Company, a coffee company owned by two NC State graduates out here in the Franklinton, Lewisburg, and Youngsville area. The Youngsville one is the one that I frequent. So if you're ever over there, you'll probably see me in line. But I am drinking the Jeremy this morning. It is delicious. It is helping me get through the day because I need as much coffee as possible with the type of week that I'm having. So thank you to Pac House Coffee Company for jumping on with us. Please go support them because they support us. All right, Michael. So we're going to do this. We're going to try to do this every Wednesday. We probably won't do one next Wednesday because it is a bye week. But after every game, giving our final thoughts, kind of moving on from the previous week, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is. But this one, we're kind of having to wash away an NC State loss in a really frustrating way, 34-8 for NC State in this one. Just, you know, give me your final overall thoughts on this one before we kind of look at some of the film and just, you know, what this loss means for NC State.
I mean, I think it's pretty devastating. You know, I know that people say it's only one game, but we talked about this in the podcast post-game, Corey. It's not in the loss. If you go up there and you lose by two scores, okay. It's just how you lost and how unprepared you looked and just how much more physically superior Virginia was than NC State. I mean, it's just a deflating feeling. And I don't know even the biggest homer how you could argue what I just said. I mean, I've watched the film now three or four times. And every time you pick up something that looks worse than it did before, again, I just think at the end of the day, the biggest thing when it comes to last week, what it pointed out to me is just how important roster management is within, you know, the financial realm of all of this. Like, make no mistake, not to go too far off topic, NC State, I get it. You had to do everything you could to keep CJ Bailey. going forward, you know, I'm not going to speculate the number that he garnered, how much he got. I know it was a lot. I have an idea. And we know what NC State's budget was that said 20, so it's probably less than that. Can you go forward and give somebody, say, 15% of your budget, one player? I just don't know. And I'm not saying he got, but it, let's just assume it's close to that. I'm just throwing a number out there. I mean, that just – it's like the NFL. I was talking to a buddy yesterday where if you pay the quarterback big money, it affects your roster everywhere else. And I think that was the most glaring thing for me looking at last weekend, just how many deficiencies NC State has on the roster. And, I mean, not even question marks, just – where the talent level is just not good enough. And, again, I know everybody wants to bang on C.J. Bailey. I still don't view this offensive line as one that's going to line up and be able to push their opponents backwards. What does that look like for the run game? I'm not sure, especially with two backs whose calling cards aren't making people miss per se. It's hard to get a downhill running game, which is what I would call Duke Scott and David Goss, when you cannot move the people in front of you. On the bright side, this is probably the best offensive line you're going to play. You're very fortunate you're going to have a weak schedule. But none of that matters if you don't figure out a way to play better. And I just think, last thing I'll say, what really showed up to me is outside CJ was bad, the offense was bad. We can go on and on. Is, you know, I think going forward, you've really got to commit to investing in the offensive and defensive lines. We've talked about it before. Yeah. You know, on paper, they invested, you know, they got, what, three returning starters.
On the offensive line, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got defense where you lost all three, and the only one I pointed out in my four downs, the only one you brought in from the portal was Katron Evans. I think we can all put two and two together that the funds were just not there. You can't justify that. As excited as people were about this, you know, some of these additions – it really goes back to the line of scrimmage. And I think that is the most disheartening thing, because where do you turn when you've got fourth, fifth, and sixth year guys who simply are maxed out or are average at best?
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, those are some of the biggest question marks that I had coming away from this game was, you know, like, how much better does this offensive line get? Because that was a major question mark going into the season. Is this offensive line going to be able to hold up and be able to, you know, run block for Duke Scott? And then, you know, one of the biggest question marks was, you know, are the wide receivers going to pan out? Who's going to step up in that sense? And, you know, the fact that you come away with C.J. Bailey being a question mark was not something I had on my bingo card in this one, but it is, and those road woes are still a major concern for C.J. Bailey. So, but we'll talk about that in the what went right and what went wrong here in just a second. But I want to throw up some film really quickly. We're going to try to do this each week by doing, you know, three pieces of film, three things that went right, three things that went wrong. I think on this one, we're probably just going to have to do players of what went right, because it's going to be really hard to highlight, you know, full position groups or any specific thing that went right for NC State in this one. But we'll go through. Let's start with some film. I wanted to pull up some pieces. I do have five loaded up this time around. We'll go through three in depth, and then the other two we'll just kind of, you know, glaze over quickly just to give people an idea. But here's play number one. This is the first play of the game. You go to the first play of the game, and you can watch the play throughout. What I wanted to go back to, though, is the pre-snap read here. Michael, give me your thoughts on what you see here and what should be, you know, the immediate move if you're C.J. Bailey, especially on an RPO play here.
I'll be honest, I think the play call stinks. I mean, you know, the first play of the season, after all season to prepare, there's no motion, there's no anything, and it's impossible to know exactly what was going on. But to me, up front, it looks like there's some miscommunication. Because you technically should have, if I'm counting, six on six, correct? Yeah, you got six in the box total. And yet somebody comes through scot-free, and it just, again, I hate the play call. I think if CJ, you know, he gives the ball, if he keeps it, Corey, he has no room to run to the short side of the field, which is a pet peeve of mine. I've said that in my previous film reviews. So he gives the ball. Okay, fine, whatever. I think this play is just not good. I just, the lack of creativity, and I'm with people who, you, when you have all off season, I mean, this is what you're going to do here. I don't even know how to analyze it. And it to me, the biggest thing is it doesn't play to your team's strengths. Like, I thought the pass protection was okay against Virginia. There was a clear disconnect between NC State's players and Kurt Roper offensively, which I think in turn, everybody looks confused all the time. Like, you've got this much experience up front, and yet you don't – it's almost like they don't expect somebody to blitz. I mean, like, yeah, those are things that happen. You know, you got to assume that they're going to bring somebody the first play of the game. Virginia is aggressive. Again, they analyze it's one thing. I don't like the play call. If you give the ball, he's going to get stuffed. If he keeps it, he has no room to run. If he throws it, he's going to have to get rid of it quickly. And, I mean, we can argue all day, and I really am not questioning people, but, like, if you really go back and watch this film over and over again, sure. Are there quick passes Bailey could have hit? Absolutely. But, man, there are so many times where no one is open. When I mean no one is open, I mean the receiver looks like – I mean the DBs look like they're almost running the route with the receiver.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. But when I'm looking at this, the pre-snap read for me, especially if it's an RPO on first and 10, I'm looking at the – I mean, I can't highlight them here. I'm circling them on my end. If I'm looking at it, I'm seeing the two DBs here playing back on the left side. That gives you plenty of room. And then you watch it actually unfold. CJ Bailey is clearly looking to this side of the field, to the left side of the field. You're seeing these guys not crash down. Neither one of them are crashing down. They're both staying back. And then you have two wide open receivers along the left side of the field. So even if this is a, you know, and right here at the time of the handoff, before you even get to the handoff right here, these guys get open. Nobody's crashing down. Pull that thing out, throw it to the left side. I mean, obviously the underneath receiver is probably more open, but you've got the outside receiver crossing through. But as he sees the balls being handed off, he stops and goes for the block here instead of actually being able to catch this ball and maybe streak across the middle. So either way, it's probably a short yardage situation. And that's not, you know, again, kind of to your point, that's not maybe the way you want to start the game. But again, this is a pretty quick read and should have been for, you know, CJ Bailey be able to get this ball out quickly.
It feels like this has become such a staple per se of NC State's offense, and I would have to think this type of play was up near the top of what Virginia was expecting. I mean, I think we have to say something like that. And I'm a Duke Scott fan, but his strengths, like Hollywood Smothers last year, could initially make guys consistently miss. I view Duke as more of a downhill runner. I just don't see how this type of attack really sets him up for success. I think what I would argue, Bailey, okay, don't give that football. Just don't do it. I think you keep the football. Just my biggest thing with him is pre-snap, he clearly struggles, okay? He goes the line. I don't know if he's confused at this point, but take your layups. If you can get a short completion and pick up, even if it's 3 to 4 yards, I mean, that's better than, you know, what we're seeing here. He really struggles to check the ball down. And again, when I watched the film over and over again, there were constantly guys open. I know that's not something you want to live by because it's not going to help you win football games. Ultimately, it can help you get to a good point in a game, but I think the biggest thing is hitting some underneath stuff so you can try to get some downfield passing going. Like, they've got to find a way to generate big plays in the passing game. Like, there's just not, I don't know really how to say it any simpler than that. And with a group that I think we would all say, until shown otherwise, clearly struggles to separate, you've really got – where's the motion? Where's the – roll him out. He's clearly struggling to play. I mean, there's so many different things you see all over the place. Group of five FCS, and NC State comes out and just does the same thing over and over again and thinks it's going to work.
Yeah, and this is the next play here. This is the interception. CJ Bailey, you're seeing, again, you know, NC State a handoff or a fake handoff here. But – I wanted to look at the other angle here too, because, you know, we see it a little bit from that angle, but as you get to this point, I believe it's right around here where they switch over to it, you're seeing for NC State, you get the fake here. And obviously, you know, because of that, Davion Goss comes across the middle instead of being able to get to Brandon Hillman here. The thing that struck me, and you know, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but Preston Douglas looks like he's blocking for a running play.
He's got that's a horrific chip. I'm assuming he's got to chip there at least to provide a little bit of resistance. But I mean, this is look at that. He just gets shoved out of the way.
And then like you've
that,
got
that can't be. And then you're running back. I'm assuming if he does not get the football, somebody's got it. It can't be. You can blame this on Bailey if you want to, but I mean, how does Goss not at least try to put, I mean, get in front of him?
Well, not only like, that, but then you see where CJ is ramping up. Like I've seen a couple.
Well, look at his eyes. I think that's where we need to start. I mean, he is locked in. Watch this. Okay. Pulls. Immediately his eyes go to the receiver. They never leave. He doesn't bother to look. I mean, he's looking at it before he fakes. So that makes it super easy. Easy-ish for, I mean, he never, and I think that was one of the biggest things for me is it felt like whenever NC State did pass, I talked about a couple other things, but the predetermined, just focus, locking in on a receiver. I mean, you can't do that. And he's a third-year starter. And I don't know where the disconnect is. To me, these are situations where let's get him on the move. It feels like you're trying to make him a true just throw from the pocket guy. I mean, he's a good athlete. Use his physical attributes to his advantage, not necessarily design runs, but use his legs to extend plays while looking to throw the football. And I couldn't understand. It just was wild not to see them do anything different with him, you know, with or outside the pocket. It was just the same thing, rinse and repeat.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Now that the school year is officially underway, families are getting a clearer picture of where students are thriving and where they might need a little extra support. It's the perfect time to reinforce what they're learning in class and build confidence along the way. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's unique level and pace. IXL supports classroom learning by providing personalized practice that aligns with what students are already studying. It's proven to improve achievement, with results seen in all 50 states. Plus, one subscription covers everything for all the kids in your home, making it a time-saving and cost-effective choice. It's a resource trusted nationwide, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners of this podcast can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
All right, I'm gonna throw up another play here. This one, this one was actually a pass too, and I know a lot of people. This is a controversial one because it's Ashton Locklear, but yeah. Shows you two things. Number one here, Ashton Locklear well out of bounds and getting shoved the entire way. You can see it here as the ball is in the air. He's already out of bounds. There was another angle that I didn't actually show up here, but they show where he's just getting shoved out of bounds the entire time. Clearly not strong enough to be able to keep himself in bounds against that rail. So that's one thing here. So I'll keep that rolling. We'll see what, you know, it's an acrobatic, you know, he goes up and brings it down, but clearly not anywhere close to it being in bounds. So that's one thing. The other thing here that I want to point out, had a lot of people pointing out just how open NC State's receivers were all day. And I'm looking here. I don't see anybody open on this play. I actually see, you know, five players, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Virginia receiver or DBs or safeties being over the top and 4 NC State receivers all blanket covered. So even if somebody does win a one-on-one battle, there's going to be an immediate tackle right afterwards. NC State doesn't have
Type of route concept are we running here? I mean, we got 4 receivers. How far down the field on a 2nd and 8?
Yeah, I believe it's 4 verts, if I'm not mistaken here. Yeah, everybody's like, running 4 verts. You got a little bit of movement.
I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand the approach there. When you do decide to take a shot downfield, and this, I guess, is supposed to be a back shoulder throw. I mean, but what my thing is, this ball feels like it's thrown super late, too. Like, I just – is it going to Keenan? Is Keenan Jackson? Is it Keenan?
No,
it's Ashton Locklear. Like I said, Ashton Locklear. I mean, and I don't mean this as to be a jerk, but like he's a walk-on. Why is he, I mean, 20 snaps? I mean,
yeah.
That's my
The only thing I can come up with is Tyree Copper being out of this game, but still, yeah, I would have felt like
I just don't understand. And I went back through it yesterday when I was doing my 4 downs. Why are there 8 receivers playing? Like, yeah. I mean, the rotations at receiver have always just – I've never understood it. I think that makes it harder on Bailey, and he's obviously struggling. Do you need to constantly have new guys in there? And
no.
I think if you're depending on a walk-on to make a back shoulder catch or any catch downfield, that is telling about what you see in your receiver room. And I don't know, man. I hope that somebody emerges, but you're like, who is the candidate? Is it Victor Snow? Is it JoJo Trader? I think the best thing you can say is the schedule gets easier. So maybe you can tweak some stuff and figure out kind of a pecking order, and it's repetitive, a pecking order at receiver. I would slash that receiver rotation in half. There's no way there are 8 receivers that are good enough on this roster to play on Saturday. I mean, I just don't think so.
Yeah, and there was a lot of plays that I probably could have highlighted here. I should have pulled it up, but we've talked about it ad nauseum too. You know, C.J. Bailey, you mentioned him being a little bit late on this throw, but again, we're looking at it. Who's open? Like, where you may be a little bit late, but I think he's just trying to.
Well,
it might have been just a throw out, trying to get it out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was that point, just live to fight another play. And who knows what he's thinking? I think the bigger thing, too, about C.J. that needs to be mentioned more is just his footwork, how bad it is right now. I mean, instead of getting depth on a lot of these drops, you see him moving sideways with his feet. I mean, as a quarterback, your feet kind of need to go. Follow your eyes so you can throw to your target. I mean, so many off-balance throws, that throw looked like it was almost off of his back foot.
Yeah.
He just is not throwing with anticipation. He's not throwing guys open. And to be fair, they seem to struggle to get open. But I think that, again, it goes back to pre-snap, you know, I don't know if he's confused or what. I know that they disguised some stuff and did a nice job there. But as the game goes on, as a veteran quarterback, you got to be able to pick that stuff up. Like that's kind of inexcusable. But again, I go back to, and every day that passes, I just don't feel like he was put in position to be successful as the game progressed. Like, you didn't change anything.
Yeah. Well, and if you guys haven't watched it, I mean, David Pollack put up a pretty good breakdown the other day as well. And honestly, it was just a bunch of like, hey, here's some layups that C.J. Bailey could have hit that would have, you know, changed things. But a lot of those were, you know, quick plays across the middle instead of it being, you know, guys getting open downfield. Like, how do you miss this guy 20 yards downfield? It was more of, scheming guys open. Here's your layup. Instead, he's looking deep downfield and trying to find somebody. So that's where there's a little bit of a disconnect, I think, from some NC State fans to others. It's not about the receivers not being schemed open, because there were times, and obviously C.J. Bailey should have hit those. He underthrew quite a few receivers too. I don't know if he thought they were comeback routes or what was missing there, or something, some kind of disconnect there. But, the big thing for him was, he's looking for guys deep downfield instead of taking some of the underneath shots to be able to set those up later on down the line.
Yeah, and I think I just compare to what you see kind of on Sundays with the NFL or even with the top tier quarterbacks in college football. I mean, there's a lot of dinking and dumping going on, like just trying to get positive plays. And NC State, they just cannot afford to get behind the chains at the moment. They are trying to figure out what type of an offensive identity is an understatement. And I think he just completely has to understand, and it's just crazy to me that 3 years in that's where things are. But, dude, just dump the ball off, even if you get 2 to 3 yards. I mean, you try to stay somewhat on schedule, but, negative plays and then just – almost non-plays that you get nothing out of. I mean, you can't afford that when your margins are this thin right now.
All right, moving over to the defensive side of the football, another, some big areas of struggles for NC State. And this one, I didn't think the defense was the reason for the loss in any sense, because I felt like going into the season, we've talked about it, NC State was probably gonna have to get in some shootouts, and
it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, but the defensive side of the football, this was – pretty big play for UVA. Obviously, the first touchdown pass, actually the only second completion of the game. And we see Popo Aguirre missing here and obviously not being able to close there for the DB for NC State. Just your thoughts on this play.
Look at the motion there. Look at the motion. Like the motion, obviously the fake freezes Popo and everybody else. And, I mean, just the formation, everything. I mean, they got somebody – pulling. I mean, that's very well disguised. Just feel like there are a lot of options on this play. I just, again, the creativity by Des Kitchens, who coached circles around NC State, ironically, on Saturday. I don't understand why NC State can't use those type of looks more often, and just why can't that be a bigger part of the game plan? I think just the lack of creativity with a third-year starting quarterback is really it's hard to understand at this point, who is seen widely as an NFL prospect. I mean,
Jaron Sensabaugh trying to come across the middle, trying to come across and get the tackle.
And, it was going to be a big ask for Popo to cover a running back. It's honestly just a good, great play call. And football's about matchups. And it got a running back on a linebacker who did everything he could, but he's going to lose that battle, 10 times out of 10 probably. But again, I go back to just the formation, the motion, the creativity, and, Prabula working his eyes. They just looked like they were in sync. Obviously, there's no pass rush. look.
Yeah.
Okay. How long does he have to throw?
The closest guy that got to him here was Joe Adair.
Rewind that back. Rewind it to the start.
Yep.
All right. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 4.5 seconds.
Yeah, I think it was probably a little bit less than that.
3.5? Well, let's see.
Yeah, about 3.5, yeah.
You can't. That's just too long.
Your pass rush. I mean, and again, it's also you mentioned
they're dropping,
it too.
Are they dropping? Let me see. They're dropping 8. Yeah,
they only have 3 guys. And actually, I will give credit to a data right here. Sheds one block, gets to the next level, and shoves the guy all the way back here, nearly there. But by the time he makes that contact right there, he's already ramping up to make this throw. And this is a tough situation for Popo here too, where you have to figure out, all right, I'm passing this guy off to my safety. Oh, and now immediately having to diagnose it. Now that he's seeing the running back dropping,
and he's thinking run the whole time, rightfully so, because they just ran the crap out of the ball. For most of the game,
you're thinking you're staying in the box, and all of a sudden it's a throw.
No, and that was just like I said, just good coaching. And it's all about creating matchups. And my question is, why is it so hard on a weekly basis for NC State to create like matchups?
Yeah,
I don't understand. I know they are limited right now, But there has to be alternatives to what we saw this past weekend. Again, it's kind of a loss for words when you continue to dissect it.
All right, last one I want to point up here. This one's actually a positive for NC State. There were a few positives that we pointed out in the film room that Terrence said yesterday too. But I really like this move. I mean, right once the play started, I saw Harvey Dyson
twist.
Making that twist and shifting over. You could see it right here. If you go back and watch it, you watch him along the right side here, and then all of a sudden he engages, but then drops off, immediately comes around, and then Kevon Carter at the same time along the right side, coming across. They both get open spots right once. Perbula sees it. He drops back. Dyson finishing the play here, but then Kevon Carter is on the other side too. So even if Dyson doesn't get there, Kevon Carter is probably going to finish that. Just your thoughts on this play. And again, you know, the lone sack of the day for NC State, but what can they take away from this as a positive?
Well, I just think, first of all, it's a really good individual effort by a couple guys. Just playing hard, not necessarily getting there immediately, but just continuing to fight and get to the quarterback, just being relentless. And I think that's the thing with State, what you've got going on up front right now clearly is a massive question mark, would be an understatement. You've got to design ways and exotic things to try to get guys free, because you do not have that game record right now. You don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, as nice of a move as that was by Harvey Dyson and Kevon Carter, you know, I question how much you can leave Dyson out there against the run, because it was staggeringly bad this past weekend. Like, his inability to take on the run, but that's what you brought him in for, to rush the passer. So, you know, does his snap count go down? I don't see how you can leave him out there continue unless he gets significantly better in run situations. But again, that's what you brought him in for. I think you just got to get really creative if you're DJ Elliott. I think you got to figure out, you know, what can we do to squeeze everything out of what we have personnel-wise. And that's a big ask right now. And I think another thing worth pointing out, Corey, I was talking to, like I said, I'm talking to a buddy yesterday. NC State's out there with a lot of 18, 19, 20-year-olds playing against 25-year-olds. That needs to be mentioned at Virginia. I mean, these are kids are old. They are old, grown men at this point. And that is also part of this. And credit UVA for investing in experienced, proven players up front. I would love to know what they spent between their offensive and defensive lines. I would guarantee you it is a sizable amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, those were, you know, we talked about at the end of last year. Those are the reasons why, you know, clearly the talent for Indiana was one of the major reasons at quarterback, and obviously they had it on the defensive side of the football, but
older players.
The two of them in Miami last year, two of the biggest spenders when it came to the trenches, and it showed. It showed on a weekly basis as they got further and further into the college football playoff. And that's where you got to spend, along with a quarterback. You know, you can't cheap out on a quarterback. And obviously NC State was able to do that. But if it comes at the risk of not being able to get, you know, better at the offensive line and defensive line, then you're missing the mark there. All right. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I've completely rethought it. I mean, I know you had to keep Bailey, but I think going forward, you have to have a hard number if you're NC State. We're willing to pay a quarterback this. If it goes a dollar over, we have to move on and try to find someone else, because you cannot. And again, I said you had to do whatever you did to keep Bailey. The way things are, as tight as they are financially right now, I'd argue half of your budget needs to go towards your offensive and defensive lines, if not more, because it's pretty moot what your quarterback can do, or anybody else, when you're up front, you've got massive questions.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
All right, so give me three guys. I did, you know, more of a highlight of this yesterday. We said we're going to go, you know, three things that went right, three things that went wrong, but I figured we would probably go with three players. We probably got to run through these pretty quickly, but yeah. Three things that went right for NC State. I know you said you wanted to do individual players here.
Yeah, I would go Ronnie Royal, and you've already talked about some of these. I just thought Royal looked like he had really studied film, was aggressive. Even when he made a mistake, he was going 100 miles an hour. You can live with that. Just one of the most improved players on State's roster, was a highly recruited kid, obviously undersized, but plays much bigger. Really like what he brings. Kayvon Carter Pops, the sophomore. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's physical. And I think, to me, that is what NC State was sorely lacking on a consistent basis against Virginia. They did not match Virginia's physicality, not in the slightest, at either of the first two levels of defense. And I think he brings that. You know, I think he's a player core with some upside, nowhere near, you know, where he's going to be. And I think that's the tricky part for NC State going forward. I understand you're trying to win. You got to play some of these veterans because you feel like they give you the best chance to win. But at the same time, you've got to start bring Kayvon Carter, guys like that have to start being more involved because they're just simply more talented. And, you know, I'd go Vanderplug on offense. There's just not a lot to pick from. I think his upside. He's only been playing tight end for, what, two years now?
Yeah.
6'6", 250, can really run. You know, if he can really fine-tune his blocking or just become a better blocker as the year goes on, I mean, he has all the ability in the world. You know, I think that's something, and he's a matchup problem. So those three are something you could take. You could say Popo Aguirre, too, and I would credit him. He just played so hard. He deserves mention here. If everybody played as hard as he did – you know, in that said, I think you have to be honest. He's limited as well from a size standpoint. There are some things where he struggles in coverage. But, again, he plays really hard, and you have to respect that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to a guy like Caden Fordham last year, where, you know, there was obviously he's coming off of an injury last year and you were worried about, you know, all the things that are going to go into that. And he ended up being the NC State's leading tackler last year and actually just made an NFL roster. So shout out to him, guy from the Florida
good
area.
Good for him, man. What a kid who deserves it. Like, to fight through the adversity and clearly play before he needed to be playing last year. And we were hard on him earlier in the year, but looking back, you know, he really just gutted it out. I don't know, no close to 100% early in the year.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with you on Popo Aguirre. The only other one I was going to point out that I didn't point out yesterday and we haven't pointed out on this one was King Mack too.
I should have mentioned him. He brings something. Yeah. And I think, again, when a game goes as poorly as this, you just look at the effort level and you saw it from him. He didn't quit. Like, you know, you have to be honest, as the game wore on, felt like there was some quitting going on, you know, and it was, how can we get out of here from the play calling, being down 24-0 inside handoff after the going up 24-0 was a, hey, we're ready to go home type play. Mm-hmm. He plays really hard. Again, there are guys you can build around, and I think the fortunate thing, we have to be realistic, is what NC State has from a schedule standpoint. Like, the schedule's still manageable. They can still have a good year. But there's a lot of that you're going to have to reevaluate at some point.
All right, so I know there was a lot to choose from, but this one actually needs to be narrowed down a little bit more. Three things that you felt like went, we'll say, the most wrong for NC State in this game.
I just think the offensive game plan, I know that's not something you can say this. I didn't understand the approach. And for a quarterback with that type of experience to look that confused and that off, again, CJ deserves a ton of blame. And I know now that he's getting paid a bunch of money, he's going to get even more. Mm-hmm. But the lack of in-game adjustments, the inability to consistently get a push in the run game has been a bugaboo for years. And I just don't know if this group has it in them. That's just – and then the biggest one for me is the defensive line. I mean, State is – I asked this, it's only one game, but when was the last time that you felt this down about their defensive line? I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, and I just think, for instance –
there was at least pieces there where you're like, all right, man, this guy's going to be – and look, you know, again – a lot of these guys are young. Obviously, Joe Adetare that I just pointed out, you know, nearly got to him one time there, Bo Pribula one time, and then, you know, there was several others. But again, this is the same story as last year. It's the same story where it's like, all right, man, they're close, but no cigar. And this defensive line, and again, you know, the edge rushers are the ones that are actually getting to him here. So I don't expect the defensive line to be the one there, but it just, again, there's not enough push there. There's not enough, you know, drive to be able to allow for your linebackers to get underneath, your edge rushers to get underneath there and be able to get to the quarterback.
I think I would say to people, you know, you can disagree with our takes all you want, and you're totally entitled to your opinion. But if you literally go back, I encourage people, go back and watch the condensed game film, whatever, and cut the sound off. Just cut the sound off, and you will just see the lack of physicality holding up against the run game, how easily NC State was just moved. I mean, just completely moved. I mean, from a physical standpoint, driving you downfield, but equally just a technical standpoint, we're going to kick you out, we're going to block down, and you provide no resistance at all. Like, they are just – that to me is – screams talent level. I'm sorry. Like, when you're getting pushed out of the way like that, you're simply just – you're a notch below who you're playing, and that was clear. We talked about it. I said 10 out of 10 times Virginia wins. I think you would echo that right now. They just don't have any answers. And, again, I think I asked you, Corey, like, what do you do during this bye week? I know you don't want to panic, especially with the schedule you've got. But, man, doesn't this speed up the timeline for some of these young guys? I mean, it has to. You saw it in the game. There was, like, what, four or five, like, true freshmen in on defense at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I know, was that because you didn't want to get somebody hurt? I view it as kind of an audition to how many snaps can we have you play? Because a guy like Ziggy Moore, as the year goes on, I mean, let's just skip all this stuff. He just let the kid play, make mistakes, increase his role as the year goes on. The problem you run into is you're just limited from a defensive line, your options.
Yeah.
So
That's what I was going to say is like, who are the options behind these guys?
You feel like these
are young. So
yeah. But again, Richmond is a prime opportunity for me. Almost, I don't want to say treat it like a preseason game, because if they play like they did last week, they'll lose. But it is a good opportunity to get some young guys in. And the guys that show you something need to be rewarded the following week at Vanderbilt. You know what you have with fourth, fifth, and sixth-year guys. I mean, if we're being honest, a lot of those guys are maxed out or close to it. And that's just a thing. So you don't know what you have yet, really, in a lot of these young guys. So go ahead with the 5 for 5, the red shirts. Just go ahead and play them and let them learn through mistakes. And again, there's a delicate balance there because you're trying to win. But there is some really talented younger guys on this roster. A guy like Vander Ploeg probably needs to play more.
Yeah.
So there's, you can go offense, defense. You just have to talent. Talent is still king in all of this. And I just would encourage NC State to try to find a way to get their younger, talented players on the field, especially as the season progresses.
The one thing I would argue back with that, especially on the defensive side of the football, is, you know, this might have been one of the, you know, first of all, it will be probably one of the best offensive lines that they're going to face all season. So
it's one of the best in the country.
So it's hard for me to just say, all right, well, like this defensive line is going to be terrible all season. Hopefully they took their lumps and they're going to get better. The thing for me is, you know, if I'm NC State, I'm looking at this and I'm going, all right, this was probably one of the better units you're going to face, both on offense and probably defense, that you're going to face for a while. I don't know exactly what Vanderbilt's going to look like. We'll see what they look like the first 2 weeks.
Obviously, they brought
back some really good. Yeah, exactly. They've loaded up when it comes to the offensive and defensive line. But if you're NC State, you're going, all right, are we going to progress here? So I hesitate a little bit to say this early in the season, like, all right, start throwing young guys out there, because at the same time, you just, like, these guys could look significantly better if you continue to play them against Vanderbilt, against Louisville in four weeks from now. So I don't know that I'm necessarily there yet, is what I'm saying.
I should have prefaced it by saying, like, you knew when there is a more than 5-to-1 ratio run to pass, you knew the run was coming. I'm not saying they don't rip off some big ones, but you had no answer all day long. And that is the biggest thing for me, why I mentioned these younger players. Like, okay, for 4 quarters, you just got absolutely pounded. I mean, when you run the ball that much and average 5 yards a carry, I mean, that's pretty deflating. Mm-hmm. So the inability for the front to make plays when they know the run is coming just shows how limited you are physically, in my opinion. Like, I just – that's the easiest way I can – if it was a 50-50 or 60-40 split, run, pass, whatever, again, that to me is what makes me speed up the timeline for these young guys. And I don't know if they're going to be any better. And maybe the gap is so big you can't put them out there. We're not in practice every day. We have no idea. But I do think, you know, some of these younger guys, Kayvon Carter, got to be more part of this. Linebacker, I'm at the point, I just was highly disappointed in A.J. Richardson. I think he's hate to single a guy out. He is going to continue to struggle at the Power Four level against physical, fast teams. So you hope there's not that many more on the roster, but go ahead and throw a guy like Ziggy Moore out there at some point. Yeah. I mean, again, the linebacker play from AJ was so poor, I thought, that, you know.
Again, I agree with you, especially, you know, at some spots when it comes to offense and defense. I mean, you know, wide receiver, again, if Tyree Copper's back for the next game, then I think you play him, especially over.
You're playing a walk-on 20 snaps, and how does that work? Like, if Tyree Copper is healthy, and like Amiri Acker, by all means, I think he was healthy last week, and I'd go back to that.
Jarrell Boyer was too.
Yeah, wasn't. Okay, so he was lined up in the slot, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I view that as okay. I mean, you can't tell me that Tyree Copper, when healthy, can't play in the slot, or really Acker. I think they're two of the most talented receivers on the roster. And I just question, like, why? To me, that has to be expedited. Those are the two of the most talented. I had somebody in preseason tell me they thought Tyree Copper was the most talented receiver on the roster right now that I trust. Obviously, that's an opinion, and he was unable last week to play due to injury or whatever. So there's a delicate balance. And at the same time, State, you look at their defense, like defensive line, for instance, I don't know if they have any other options. You feel like there are a couple more at receiver. But at the same time, if there's not a concrete game plan and the coaching staff and the quarterback, especially the offensive coordinator and the coach, are not on the same page, which that to me was arguably the biggest concern of all this. It's just the disconnect. It's like CJ didn't understand what the game plan was, and, you know, and what it just was alarming to me. And I think that that we could save a lot of time by just saying just the disconnect there from what you are trying to accomplish, but your way of trying to accomplish it. And you had no answer.
Yeah. And again, it was lack of adjustments. It was lack of creativity. We'll see. Again, NC State has, you know, still 11 games left. And that's the one bright spot here if you're an NC State fan or if you're NC State in general, is there's still 11 more times to prove yourself. It's just what you've proven so far wasn't much, unfortunately, for NC State. But we will talk much more about NC State football moving forward, hopefully putting a, you know, a nail in this one. And we will move on. There will be a little more content. Obviously, we have to look back a little bit at the UVA game. We'll talk to Dave Doran next week, you know, but we'll discuss plenty more leading up to Richmond over the next few days. And then obviously looking ahead to Vanderbilt as well. But Michael, thank you so much for jumping on as always, man. I appreciate you.
All right, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again to everybody for jumping in. If you haven't already, please jump in for 75% off. Go check out all of our content over at PacPower 247. It is a free VIP day, so if you're just jumping on and watching this, make sure that you do check that out over the next, you know, what we got left, almost a little over 12 hours now at this point. So check out all of our VIP content. Thank you again to everybody for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.